Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights, covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading our wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little luck, some wisdom. This is Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone.
Glad you could join me on another wonderful adventure, dipping into some of these amazing books that are out there that can help you to change your life. And this is definitely one of them. I have Dawn Cummins with me today, and her book is Dream Interpretation for the Mystical Soul. And she's been on before, and she is a dream expert. There is no doubt about it. In this book, you learn how to interpret and understand your premonitions, dreams, visits from deceased loved ones, and more metaphysical aspects of your dreams. This book is more than a book. It's a lifestyle. And within its pages, you'll learn how to identify different types of visitation dreams, determine the signs of precognitive dreams, discover who the characters really are in your dreams, know if you are beginning a new spiritual chapter, understanding your relationship to your dreams, and use your spiritual techniques to interpret your dreams. You'll find tips throughout the book on how to use your dreams information in your life. Yet, expert dream interpreter Pam Cummins devoted a chapter to it using her business slogan, Nighttime Messages, Daytime Wisdoms, as the chapter's title. Why? It's senseless to interpret your dreams if you aren't using their insights. We have nighttime dreams for our personal and spiritual growth. Let's take their wise messages to create a happier and more fulfilled life. That certainly is an aspect that I have adhered to forever. Pamela is an expert dream interpreter, spiritual growth coach, and psychic. She's an author of 8 books and 4 oracle cards on the topics of dream interpretation, spirituality, personal growth, and relationships. It's so cool to have such an expert with me. So join with me as we learn a lot more about our dreams than we previously had known. And I think it's fascinating the way she interprets them and gives you the information on interpreting them. So welcome to the show, Pam. I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm sorry, my earbuds aren't working and I have you on speaker. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. You're not echoing
or
anything.
Oh, wonderful. I was so concerned. I'm like, oh, no, they're not working. But thank you so much for having me on the show, and I'm glad you can hear me loud and clear.
I can. And I think that's something that we hope that everybody listens to their dreams and pays attention loud and clear.
Yes.
Because they do give such great insight into our lives. And I think one of the most confusing things, especially for me, is how do I interpret them? Do I come at it from a spiritual standpoint, from a a physical standpoint, from a work aspect. I mean, there are so many different ways you can interpret these dreams that we have. How do you figure out which way you go with the interpretation of the dream?
Oh, well, you know, that's why I love the different dream categories, because one dream can have many different meanings, and sometimes you need to look at them spiritually. Sometimes you need to look at them practically. What's going on in your life? That's really important, and your past, and your feelings and emotions. So honestly, sometimes I would say mostly you have to come at it from different aspects when you look at your dreams. But usually, you know, you have the right interpretation. I like what Louise Hay said, your inner ding. It's like, ding, 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 we have a winner, and it feels right. And honestly, there are times when it has a spiritual meaning, and it has, you know, maybe a physical meaning and a solution, too. I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah, you are. Every now and then I'll have a dream, and it'll be, okay, I can intellectually interpret this. You know, this is, my dream is telling me something about, for instance, a relationship or a job, or, you know, it's telling me about something that's in the fore of my consciousness. And yet then I can look at it from a more spiritual aspect and get a different interpretation. And
correct.
Then it's a matter, you know, it's a matter of they both apply. So at that point, I just kind of assume they both have meaning. I mean, you know, I don't want to categorize things in one. I'm someone that hates categories. And if, you know, if you fit in both categories, you know, one on one foot and the other on the other foot, I guess. But it's just, you know, when I'm with a relationship, when I'm looking at it and saying, this isn't healthy for me, but I'm learning so much for it, maybe it's important that I stay and learn how to deal with this kind of a person, and, you know, before I walk out. Or is it maybe I'm meant to learn something from this, and so I should stick it out and find my greater strengths? And you know, I get so lost often in the philosophy of it, I don't know what it means. I mean, is that, you know, you can do that, can't you?
Well, of course, of course. And, you know, that's like when I do a dream interpretation for someone, I never say it means this. I'm like, it could mean this, you know. It can also mean this. It can also mean this. And honestly, a lot of times my psychic feeling is it means this. It really means, like, maybe let's say it's a relationship, but it's also a solution and it's spiritual, but it really means this about the relationship. I know. But the person might not be ready to look at it, so they're going to look at the spiritual aspect. And sometimes we need time for it to become more clearer.
Ah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And that makes
great sense.
Yeah, and we're also body, mind, and spirit. And if you look at, like, hands-on healing, they'll say, you know, your physical body, your aura, your spiritual, like, there's different layers. Of course, I can't think of what they are right now. Okay, and sometimes you have to heal one aspect, and then you have to heal another. Let me put it differently. Sometimes we need to heal the body before we can look at a spiritual aspect.
Other times, that makes sense.
Other times you can heal the body all you want, but until you look at that emotional aspect, it's not healing. So, in a sense, dreams are like that. They have many different layers because they're all you, your body, mind, spirit. You're in a relationship. You're learning a lesson. You're growing spiritually. You know, your emotions from the past are interfering with today, whatever it is. I think there's in the book, there's where there was a time when I was trying to show that how dreams can have many different meanings, and I was having a hard concept for coming up with, like, a class example, and I was like, I just got to let it go. And that night, I had the perfect dream that showed so many different layers of it. And I don't want to give too much away, but when one of my editors was looking at it, she liked this one very practical, because there was, a cat sleeping in the living room, kind of like an elephant. And I was saying how it could be my family, just, you know, were the elephant sleeping in the living room. And she's like, great. And then I went deeper. I think I kind of freaked her out because she didn't say anything else about that. Because her logic, and there you go, the logical mind said, yes, that makes sense. And it does make sense, because as human beings, we always have an elephant or a tiger or, like, denial sleeping in the living room nobody wants to look at, okay?
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
We also need to go in deeper. And that's, and it actually turned out part of, and it meant all of them, quite honestly, all right? It was like five different interpretations. But the biggest one was, it was letting me know that my cat, Merlin, was going to cross in the future.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are a lot. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. There are a lot.
Well, I have to say, there are a lot of people out there that are saying, I don't remember my dreams. And you know, that's a hard one for a lot of us, because they obviously have great information for us. They have great insight from spirit, but how do you work into a process where you can begin to remember your dreams if you're not one of the lucky ones that remembers them like crazy? I mean, how does one start to to record them? How do you train yourself to be able to remember them?
Right. Like anything else, it's intention. Okay? You need to intend to do it, and you always do it the night before. Not like in the morning, you know, I'm going to remember my dreams. You need to do it the night before. And there are several ways that you can do it the old-fashioned, old-school way, where you can write yourself a letter, and you can stick it in an envelope and put it underneath your pillow, where you can say, I will remember my dreams tonight. You can write it down. I will remember my dreams. I will remember my dreams. If you want to update it, you can, you know, type it into your phone. You could actually record your voice and just play it over and over in your head. You know, I will remember my dreams, or if you prefer, I will call my dreams, if I can say. I prefer, will remember my dreams, and say it over and over and again. You can also visualize yourself. You know, visualize yourself actually saying your mantra, affirmation, whatever you choose to call it, I will remember my dreams. You getting into bed, waking up, remembering your dreams, and having something to record your dreams. It's really important. Like I like to say, if you want to say you have the intention to go to the gym the next day, okay? Well, if you have that intention, it's really important, especially if you work out of the home, to have your gym clothes by the door, all prepared, so when you get up in the morning and you're off to work, you grab that gym bag. And it's the same thing with your dreams. Have that intention to have something to record your dream. You can visualize yourself recording it. You can also, if you like to pray, you can also ask your higher source, God, goddess, whatever you choose to call, you know, it, you know, please help me remember my dreams. And it's really important. It's like, I'm going to go to the gym. How many people join the gym and go once and they never go back? You need to do this every night. Every night before you go to sleep. And I like to say, do it for 3 months, do it for 90 days. And I guarantee you, it's not going to take that long. It's probably going to take, well, it depends upon the person, a real logical person. It might take a couple of weeks, but however long. But you will start to remember them.
is there a difference between what you dream at night and those waking dreams you have where you, you know, you're still in bed, you're still in slumber mode, but you're awake? I mean, is there a difference between those kinds of dreams?
It's like I call it the in-between time. You're not awake, you're not asleep, okay? That's kind of hard for me to answer, but I do believe they are similar. It's like you're in a hypnotic state, if that's a good way of putting it. They're different, the beta, the theta, and all that. So I think it depends upon the person, but I get the greatest information in between the dream time and the waking time. So I feel like I'm going to say it's like meditation and hypnosis. They're brother and sister. Hypnosis, you're focusing on a goal, okay? Meditation, you're kind of just letting go, or you might say an affirmation over again. Now, when you're in the dream time, you know, you can travel different spiritual realms and stuff. You're getting information. When you're in that in-between state, you're still getting information. I just feel like it's coming to you a little lighter and not so deep, if that's a good way of saying it. But it's still valid. It's still valid. You know, I mean, give you...
Yeah, because I remember... Go ahead.
No, a personal example was one morning I was coming out of sleep and my angels and guides were telling me how I needed to write like a book on affirmations, and they were giving me all this information, and I was like, okay, all right, you know, I'm like out of it, okay, yeah, I'll do that, yeah, I promise I do that. And then I started waking up and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm writing my book, Learn the Secret Language of Dreams. Let me finish this one. Don't stop giving me so much information. But, that was kind of funny. But you can get messages like, drink this kind of tea, you know, I'll wear the red sweater today, whatever.
there are so many different kinds of dreams. One of the ones that people often ask me is a visitation dream. And, especially when someone has just died, am I going to hear from them immediately? I think it's not a dream, but every now and then I will catch a whiff of my mother's dusting powder. And she's been gone for 20 years. And, you know, when it wafts at me, it's like, well, hi, Mom, glad you're visiting, you know. how do we know if we are having a visitation dream or if it's just our wishing it was one?
Okay. A good way of putting it is a visitation dream actually feels like a visit. Okay, it's like when somebody comes to visit you or you're on the phone with someone, you might have a conversation. There's a lot of feelings of love. I mean, an intense love, probably love that you might not feel during the daytime. Okay, so honestly, it's usually really short. It's not really that long. Sometimes it can be. You could be shopping. You could be in the kitchen. They might say, I'm okay, or, you know, my will is in the bottom drawer of my file cabinet. They'll give you information. And again, there's a loving feeling. There's a connection. There might be sadness when they go. Another way of saying is sometimes there's no words. So sometimes it's telepathically you can communicate. Uh-huh. And if it's like with an animal, they might sleep in the same spot on your bed. They might, just come up to you and hug you and visit you. And again, it's really short. All right. Okay. The way to know that it's not a visitation is if the dream has a lot of symbols, if there's bad feelings, you're arguing with each other, it makes no sense. It goes from one scene to another. You're not in that love. That's usually like an issue dream. That's
okay.
Kind of it in the next one.
I'm a cat person, and I have always had cats, and always will. And when one passes away, and usually they sleep with me, but when one passes away, quite often I will feel them jump on the bed to sleep with me.
Right.
You know, and you know, there's no doubt about it. And it's kind of like, oh, it's so nice that he's come back to spend the night, you know. It is comforting. It is really a very sweet feeling. Well, you have different types of visitation dreams. So maybe can you give out the different types and give a little explanation of each of them?
Okay, sure. Sure. All right. Well, actually, the visitation. Well, I like categories. I know you don't like them, but it makes it easier to explain it. And the one that I just described, the visitation dreams. Okay, and a lot of times they happen, as you mentioned earlier, right when someone passes, and it's kind of like, hey, I'm letting you know that everything, you know, I'm here. Okay. Like, for example, my cat Midnight, this was a long time ago, she had passed, and she was actually still in my room because the ground, I was living in New Jersey, and it was winter time, and there's no way I could, you know, I didn't even have a shovel. My roommate was gone, and he came the next day and dug a grave for me, but she was in my room. But she visited me in my dream, where she came, and she rubbed up against my legs the way she usually does, made her meow. I went to go grab her because I was so thrilled that she was there because she had just died. And she looked at me, and she jumped up to the windowsill, and she went through and disappeared into the night, which was kind of cool. Yeah, that was kind of cool. So she was kind of like, hey, I love you, but I'm out of here. I'm ready to go, you know, to cross the Rainbow Bridge. You know, it's my time, you know. I want to be free.
Right.
And you know, so they visit then. Sometimes they visit a year after. Sometimes it's many decades later. And for anyone out there wondering, well, you know, so-and-so just passed. How come they're not coming to my dreams or visiting me? Sometimes when you have really intense grief, they might come and visit you. You might not remember, or they can't get through that emotion. And I'm not saying don't grieve, don't feel sad. They just can't get through. The other is what I mentioned earlier, which is the issue dream. And I want to say it's no less important than the visitation dream, because those are issues that you need to work out with the person who departed you. You could be angry that they're gone. All right? You might have some unresolved issues that you need to resolve with them, your feelings. You might feel like they abandoned you. Right, and it's important to look at that, because once you work and through that stuff, they can come and visit you. Right, and then the third category that, quite honestly, I didn't think existed until I had a visitation dream and also an issue dream, is that they can come and visit you, which is going to strike an issue dream that you need to resolve with them. So it's kind of like a combination issue / visitation. It can happen the other way, where you're having a bad dreaming about, you know, unresolved issues with them, and you're really upset in the dream, and they come to comfort you. So those are my three categories.
They're actually therapeutic dreams, actually.
Well, quite honestly, I believe most dreams are therapeutic, even nightmares, because they're alerting us to what we need to work on.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Sometimes, though, you know, you don't view them that way because
of course not.
You you kind of want to get up and walk around the block and clear your head. I think the kind of dreams that I'm fascinated with are the precognitive dreams. I frequently have those, and it's you know, you dream something and then you think, well, that was interesting. I don't know how it applies to me, so maybe it applies somewhere else, and you kind of just let it go until something very similar to it occurs in the news or, you know, around your neighborhood or wherever, and it's like, I saw this coming. Why didn't I pay attention? And they are.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's just that the precog dreams, everybody should write their dreams and or in between dreams and or things that just feel like they're inspiring, and you have to write them down to get them out of your head, because that really is spirit talking to you, trying to give you advice, direction, information, or whatever.
Right.
And I'm an advocate, you know, all over the place for keeping a journal of stuff like that.
Right. And if you don't like to write, you can record it, you can videotape it, whatever feels right to you. But when I love precognitive dreams, I love them as much as visitation dreams. Someone said choose. I love them both. But precognitive dreams, again, they alert us, like when, you know, before, when Merlin was going to pass, I must have had like 8 dreams that just gave me guidance, and I'm very grateful for that, because I was able to spend a lot of time with him, you know. So as sad as it was great, because I, you know, spent that kid got a lot of love. He was definitely loved before he passed. And the way to tell, everyone has their own way feeling when it comes to precognitive dreams and their intuition and their psychic abilities. We all have our own gifts. But I want to say precognitive dreams feel important, okay? Like, wow, and you remember them. You might be, I mean, they really stand out. And especially people who don't remember their dreams, those kind of dreams, like, will stand out in your mind. It's kind of like intuition, you know, where it's real quick and you're like, whoa, I know that's important. I don't know what it means yet, okay? Sometimes it's clear what it means, okay? And other times you have to allow the event to unfold. But that's where keeping a journal helps, because it helps you to identify, you know, how a precognitive dream comes to you, how it feels, maybe some symbols that are there, so you're aware of it. It's the kind of the same thing when I was, you know, trusting my psychic abilities. I think it was Peter Sanders had this exercise in You Are Psychic. And there's 2 books with the same title. This is an older book. And he said, whenever you feel like, you know, like you're getting information, and back then there were no cell phones, you know, write it down. So I had kept this really tiny, small notebook and a pen in my purse, and I would write it down. And that taught me, you know, I'm going to say for me, like 8 times out of 10, it was. But it also taught me the difference between my psychic abilities and ego. And so if you write down your dreams, it's going to teach you, okay, this was a dream about the future. This was a dream, me just blowing off steam, or me acknowledging my feelings that I'm angry at this person. It helps you to identify what the dreams mean. And that's why it's important to record them.
Well, yeah, and you can always go back and add, you know, at a week or 2 week or 5 week time frame, if perhaps with that distance that you're able to look at the whole thing from a different perspective too.
Right. And, you know, sometimes you'll think it means this, and it kind of does. And then a month or two goes by and it happens and you're like, whoa, it really meant this.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because especially for having a dream about, someone, precognitive dreams, somebody's going to pass, or a love relationship is going to leave us, or whatever, denial and protection and ego is going to get in the way and say, no, it was just a dream. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. It just happened.
Uh-huh. I had a dream once where I was at my the wake for me. I had passed away, and there was an open coffin, which I don't want, but apparently I didn't have a vote. And I was watching people go up, and I wasn't taking attendance. I was just watching people's reactions when they looked at me. And 5 or 6 people that were good friends said, "Wow, why didn't she ever wear her hair that way? It looks so good on her." And try as I could not get up to see how my hair looked. And that dream, it didn't haunt me, but I had it over and over and over again for at least a year and a half. And at one point, I did cut my hair really, really short, and I never had that dream again.
Mm.
Kind of like I figured out. Go ahead. You're the expert here.
No. It sounds like you needed to cut your hair short to let go of some things. Do you know
that
what I mean?
Be, yeah.
It's like, yeah, to let go of some things. But I think they were also saying, because hair can represent our power and who we are, I think it was also them kind of like a precognitive, like, hey, it's time for you to have a new style. And I actually had the same thing myself, and I thought, but it was very symbolic, and precognitive dreams can be symbolic, where I was, my hairdresser at the time, in my dream, she had died, and I was very upset, and I was trying to get this guy who, when I think about it, he kind of represented this guy who cut my hair short. I look awful in short hair. I look like Bozo the Clown because it just goes like a mushroom top sideways and it's curly. It's awful. And he, he did that to my hair, and I wanted my hair a certain way, and we were arguing in the dream. And I didn't really understand it at first, and, my hairdresser didn't die. But basically, it was time for me to leave her, stop dying. She died, but it was time for me to stop dyeing my hair and let my natural hair color grow out. And this was right about COVID time. And believe me, some people gave me a hard time about it and were arguing with me. So that was kind of like the mainstream thinking, like, oh, no, you need to dye your hair. And I'm not saying if you want to dye your hair, go for it. It was just time for me because it was starting to really hurt my hair. It was starting to destroy my hair. So it was time for me to go natural. So that was a precognitive dream. And if you notice, excuse me, precognitive dreams can definitely have symbols in it. Because some people think, well, if I'm dreaming of the future, it should, go exactly how the future is going to turn out to be. But not always. A lot of times it's symbolic, too. And that's where it kind of trips people up. And that's the value of time.
Sometimes, too, I've had another recurring dream. I have a couple. But I see myself in period dress in about the 1800s, 1800s in there someplace, in a ballroom in Vienna, dancing to a Viennese waltz, and I can smell it. I can smell the candles that are lit. I can feel the material of the dress. I know it's blue, and I know my jewelry matches it. And swirling around and around and around in this huge ballroom that was, just beautiful, and the music was gorgeous. And I have never been able to. And I've really worked on this one. I've thought, let me see if I can go back to that time, if I can stretch it, find out, you know, if you know, who I was and what was the purpose of having that dream. And I've really worked on this a lot and haven't been able to figure, it feels like it's the past. And
right.
I, you know, I can't, and I don't know if I'm all the part, if I'm my partner and me, or if it's me in a past life or what, but it has come back time and time again, probably for the last 50 years.
Wow.
And go ahead.
Okay. So it could be a past life dream, and it was when you were happy. Okay. It sounds like a very pleasant, happy dream. Okay.
Oh,
it could be that.
A floaty dream.
Okay. Right. It could also be like to just enjoy yourself, stay in the moment, and dance, and kind of, you know, dance to the music and dance to your life. Okay. And it could also, and this is not a positive, but it could also be you got to stop that dance and start that old-fashioned dance and start something new, okay? That's, like, symbolic, okay? It could mean that. But honestly, it feels like it's just more like reminding you of a pleasant time. Have you ever done a past life regression on that dream?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I mean, that's something you could do. But honestly, it feels like just a beautiful dream that, you know, to dance and enjoy your lifetime.
Well, you know, these days, none of us, well, I'm not exactly dancing around and in luxurious clothing, and, you know, we're all kind of just struggling to survive these days. So having that dream that was such, you know, there was such richness in everything. There was no worry about anything. It was just a lighthearted dream. And today, one of those dreams is a nice thing to have, considering what the world situation is anyhow.
Well, and you know what? Every time period, I'm sure if you read the history in that time period, I'm sure you could find some really messed up things that are occurring. So another meaning of that dream is to, no matter what's occurring in the world today, because, you know, we can't control people. You know, we can't control the fighting and everything else. And we can let outside influences really mess up our world and struggle, or we can say, you know what, I'm sending them prayers, I'm sending them love, but I can't change them. All I can do is change myself. So let me, I might not be wearing luxurious clothes, you know, I might be wearing sweats and T-shirt, but I can still enjoy the dance of life.
That's true. That's true.
Okay. Cause, yeah,
that's
because,
a nice way,
you know,
of looking at it too.
Yeah. Well,
What about the aspect of somebody has asked a couple times, you know, that all the characters in a dream are you or aspects of you. Is that another way of looking at these dreams?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. One of the things that I love about, I'm not a Jungian therapist, but one thing that I love about Carl Jung that he said is that every character in the dream is you. Not all the dreams. Obviously, like a precognitive dream in the future, like the one that I had in my cat Merlin. And by the way, he's up on my desktop screen right now. There's a lot of pictures of him. So that's kind of neat. But everybody in your dream is an aspect of you, okay? So if you're dreaming about a young child, that's your child within. If you're dreaming about an ex-boyfriend, that's really your characteristics. If, you know, you had an ex-boyfriend who was selfish, that's your selfishness. Because we're not perfect. We all have these characteristics. So that's a really good way of looking at the, or the selfish boyfriend could be your, you know, male aspect. Okay, so that's one way of looking at it. Other times, you know, you could, like, your past life dream that feels like you. So that could be you in a past life. It could also be, which, you know, I love the science fiction where there's more than one Earth and there's all, you know, there's different Earth 1, Earth 2, or Earth things. So there's different space and time, and where you made a different decision and your life went differently. So I hope I'm being clear. I hope I'm explaining that differently.
Yeah.
So different realities. That's the word I'm looking for. There's different realities. So that could be that too. You could see yourself as an old woman, and that is you. You know, you could see yourself as a man, and then that is you. But other times, so sometimes it is you. Sometimes you could see yourself as an alien, and it is you. Because, you know, we don't know how many planes of existence there really are. And I know that baffles people, and it baffles me, too. So, yeah, sometimes it is you, and sometimes you look differently. You know, where you know it's you, but you look different, and it's not a past life, it's not a future life, it's just, and it could be like there's an aspect of yourself that you can't handle, so it's easier for you to see yourself as someone else. Because that will happen, mm-hmm. the same thing. Let's say a married woman is dreaming of an ex-boyfriend cheating on her, okay? And it could actually be her husband is cheating on her, but it's too painful to look at it that way. So she sees it as an ex, and it makes it less painful for when she's ready to acknowledge that fact. So you could look different, okay, but until you're mm-hmm. ready to acknowledge the fact that that is you.
So your dreams really are a form of therapy. And give you insight into deeper meanings for your reality, which is so important. And so keeping a journal or a recording or some way of chronicling the series of insights you're getting from spirit, is there ever a dream that is just for the fun of it?
Like, I think all dreams have meaning to us, okay? They can be fun, they can be, but even like, I remember when I used to work at Burger King, okay? And I would, if I was thirsty, I would have dreams about me taking like a cup and just filling it up with soda and guzzling it down. So even that's a funny dream, right? Mm-hmm. But it had meaning because I was thirsty. So they all have meaning in some aspect.
Well, the other thing that somebody has asked is, I know with tarot cards, if you have traditional tarot cards, you have the death card. And I understand that the death card really means rebirth. It doesn't really mean you're going mm-hmm. to die. It could, but there's so many other ways of interpreting it. And if you die of your, if you dream of your own death, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die.
Yes. Do you remember, when was it? Like, I think it was in the 80s, the 90s. There was a rumor going around. I remember people saying, you know, if you die in your dream, you actually die in real life, okay? And that was a scary mm-hmm. thought, you know, like, or if you jump off a cliff and you land, you're going to die from the shock, okay? And, you know, nobody could ever prove to me, and I don't think it's proved scientifically, that happened. And I never had a medium, and I've never read any books where someone talked to someone in spirit and said, you know, I died because I had a dream that I died.
Yeah.
Okay? But it is like the tarot card, like when you saw yourself in the coffin, it was like an end of an era, and with your hair,
yeah.
you know, that was an end of an era. With my hair, is the end of dyeing my hair, okay? And but it used my hairdresser dye. So it is, and it's also, you know, kind of like that chapter is over with, and it's also transformation, right? And I know for a fact that you can't die in a dream, because I've had two different dreams where I was actually shot in the head, in my forehead, okay, in the dream. And I didn't die. Obviously, I'm speaking to you, so obviously I didn't die in the dream.
Clearly.
Yeah. But it is just like it's – I want to say it's kind of like a rebirth, because we're always – like a skin, I mean, we naturally shed our skin, right? And so we're always transforming, always. Our body, you know, as you get older, you realize how many times your body has changed. You could gain weight, lose weight, you know, you change your hair color, you get age spots, you get gain muscles, you lose muscles, you could lose your eyesight, you know, whatever. Your body is constantly changing and transforming. And so in a dream, you know, have you ever dreamed about yourself being younger?
I've dreamt about younger doesn't appeal to me. I have dreamt about having the wisdom I have now in a younger body. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, some of my dreams, my hair is dull. Yeah, and I look younger, okay? So it's just, it really, and even like the death dreams, it's really just seeing ourselves in a different aspect. But if anyone has ever known somebody who came back and said, hey, I dreamed that I was dead, and, you know, I mean, honestly, I think that the only way that could happen is if somebody is on their deathbed and, you know, and they're actually, you know, sleeping and they're actually getting ready to cross. And then it's more like a visitation into the next lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure
that's
happen.
You're on that, you know, once you're on that track, it's not frightening anymore.
Right.
It's like, where are we going? When are we going to get there? But I think the dreams are so important. And I have a friend who every time she has a dream of she sees someone with red shoes, kind of like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. But if she has a dream with and sees somebody with red shoes, within a couple of weeks, someone close to her passes away.
Oh, wow.
And it's happened very frequently. And you know, it's not immediate family she's talking about. It's somebody she knows or something like that. So that when she sees the red shoes, she'll say, well, I had the dream with the red shoes. And then we sit thinking, you know, Who could it possibly mean? And every now and then we're right, but more often than not we're not.
Right.
So, but it's quite amazing when she dreams of some, and it's not the same person with red shoes. It's just someone with red shoes. She sees the shoes. That's what she recognizes.
Right. And see, if you went to a dream dictionary. Please don't use dream dictionaries, people. If you went to a dream dictionary, that would probably say you're going to go out on the town, you know, red shoes, or you're going to be grounded because you're wearing the color red, or you're having a sex dream. You would never see somebody's going to die, okay? So that's a great example of how, you know, symbolism is very personalized.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, There's a workbook out there that is a dream symbol workbook, and basically it leads you through a lot of exercises and it enables you to create your own symbol dictionary. And it's a great thing to have because that way, you know, I have the symbol of milkweed whenever there's milkweed blowing around in the air and there's no plants around, I know that it's a visitation symbol of a person I was in a relationship for almost 15 years. And, you know, I know he's around. And
right.
So, you know, it's to create your own symbols is to make it, you know, so personal that you're able to really immediately relate it to exactly what it means.
It's like
my mother's dusting powder. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes in a dream, it could be a little different, just to let you know. But I think that's a good tool.
Uh-huh.
And I want to point out that symbols are important in dreams, but you also need to look at the story and how does it fit in your life today, you know, maybe the past or the future. But I think that's a great
Excellent.
Tool. I like that, you know, figure out your own symbols a lot better than looking at a symbol book.
Oh, yeah. It is because, yeah. You know, I think in the number of the symbol books, you know, if you dream about losing teeth, it means you're going to lose friends. And, you know, it always... That interpretation always irritated me, and it's, you know, it has to mean something different, or there has to be alternatives, or, you know, and in a couple of the books I looked at, that's the only definition it gave, which I thought was ridiculous. So, I think it's important for people to discover their own symbols and know what they mean and have them written down, so that when you see a clown with red hair and blue eyes or something, it means one thing. And, you know, it's a great way for you to establish something with your higher self or the spirit within, so that they know when you know, they want to give you a message of some sort, short and sweet, they give you the image and you know exactly what it means. And you can work that way.
Oh, yeah. And I think that works really well, especially during the daytime. You know, but also in your dreams, too. You know, you made me think of, I was doing a radio show one time, and this, you know, I was explaining to the host how, you know, symbols mean different things to different people, you know, and, you know, in the other aspects. And she's like, well, my grandma always said that when you dream of a cat, it means bad luck. And I was like, oh, not necessarily. You could be getting a cat.
No.
You could be having a visitation from a cat. You could be meaning to be independent. There might be somebody catty in your life. It could mean, what does a cat mean to you? Now, somebody who doesn't like cats, yeah, that could be bad luck. But no, it doesn't mean that. What does it mean to you?
So do people come to you with their dreams and have you interpret them? Is that, I mean, you obviously know what you're talking about. And
right.
So do people make appointments to come with you to interpret their dreams or for spiritual guidance? You know, what would you say your practice is?
My practice is there's a lot of different areas. Some come to me because they want psychic information. Others come, they want me to interpret their dreams. And some, not as many, want to learn how to interpret their dreams and have me as a coach.
Now, that makes sense.
But I find a lot of people, they don't want, you know, it's like the guitar. Some people really want to play the guitar, and they start and they stop. Some people are dedicated to playing the guitar, and other people just want to listen to guitar music, okay? So some people want to know, what does my dream mean, and I don't care how to interpret it. And other people, honestly, I have some clients who never remember their dreams. They could care less, and it's like, give me a psychic message. So...
Well, I am being very hopeful these days that I am finding more and more people are coming to me to learn how to use their gifts rather than for the reading. I'm happy to do the reading, but
right.
I'd rather work with a person to develop their own gifts and talents, because that's when the real magic happens, and that's what's so exciting to watch, especially somebody waking up to the fact that they are intuitive and they are psychic and they can do a lot of these things. Doing your dreams and even psychic messages, it's very much like muscles. The more you work with them, the better you become.
You know, and quite honestly, that's what I prefer doing. But my main goal is to excel people's personal and spiritual growth. So if they, and when I do a reading and I do a dream interpretation, I always put something in there for their personal growth, and I have them look at it and at their lives, you know. But when, yes, I instead of feeding a man fish for a day, I'd like to teach him how to fish, and women too, obviously.
Exactly.
But not every.
Yeah.
Not everybody comes to me for that. And I find that's one of the reasons why I love writing too, and I love writing books, because some people they would just rather do it themselves. So they'd rather read the book and say, okay, now I can put this into my life. That's why I like to do, I'll teach you, I'll give you reading. You can read this information and learn how to do it yourself. So this way I spread a larger audience.
Absolutely. We've done two of your books.
Right.
I mean, we've done two of your books, and both of them are very self-instructive, and they give you the tools, and certainly you're available on the phone. So that they want to book time with you so that you can sort of guide them through wherever their hurdles are, so that they can, go deeper into whatever information it is they're getting. That's the exciting part of this work, I think.
Right. And I also do it by email, too. So if somebody lives in, in a different, totally different time zone than I do, I can help them that way.
Well, I just noticed the time. You want to give out your website and email and whatever information you want to share with the audience here?
Sure. Actually, I'll just they can go to PamelaCummins.com, PamelaCummins.com. I have a contact form there that they need to get in touch with me. I'm also on Substack. You can find me there. And LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn mostly. Those are basically the things. And you can find my book. I have 8 books. You can find them on whatever bookstore that you like, whether that's Amazon or, Kobo or Barnes & Noble. I like to spread them out as far as I can. So.
Well, I want to thank you so much, because this is a fun topic. This is something that everybody can learn from and grow from, and the deeper you look, the more you discover. It's very exciting, and I'm so glad that you've written the 2 books that I've read, and I'm looking forward to finding more.
And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to come as a guest on your show, so I appreciate it.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, totally, And I will look for more books, and we will get you back on here again soon. So thank you again very much for talking to me today.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody. Be talking to you next week. So look for us then. In the meantime, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and keep track of your dreams. They may give you messages that can enlighten you in ways you just wouldn't believe. Good night.